Good morning, WCGA listeners. You're listening to Woody, and this program is The Bigger Picture, the unification of true faith, we believe, with right political action, as we also believe. And as I have tried to say at the beginning of every program, please remember this is an opinion program, But it is based, first of all, on an extensive reading of the Word of God. Secondly, on a library full of books by respected authors with venerated texts. And then lastly, with a lifetime of very unique military and civilian experiences, unlike what most men would have. And it was spent at the grassroots level as a fly on the wall, not as an important decision maker, but often a mule or a means to an end for people who were calling the shots. So I got to see and do quite a bit. But today, folks, is going to be just a little bit different because this is the final program of this 13-set series that we've been doing. And this program today, I believe, will be the most important that we have done. It's the intent here to wrap it all up by calling to your attention what I believe is the most important concept in all of creation. It's the one that's being attacked today, and it's the one, because the attack has been successful to this point, has caused our country, our nation, our culture to go into utter chaos, utter and complete chaos. Today we're going to do two things. We're going to talk about that one greatest concept, this one linchpin of all that we do. And at the very end, in segment five, after we've put this portion to bed, I'm going to ask two questions, two very important questions that you may ask other people that will help you discern who your enemies are and who your friends or allies are. They're sensitive questions. It's going to just the answer to the questions themselves reveals a lot about the groups of people that respond one way or the other. In the beginning, I'm going to apologize for my throat. Going to be a little bit difficult to speak today without bothering people a little bit, but I'm going to push through it, and we're going to do it. But listen, this is an opinion program, but today, I'm going to speak to you as if I were a professor or if I were a venerated preacher, though this is still an opinion program. And this very direct, declarative style is still my opinion, and it's based on those biblical instructions, venerated books, and unique professional experiences I've had. But today, it's also based on the ultimate validation of a man's words. That's his track record. And I hope in the first four segments of this program, before we get to those two questions, to be able to show you why my track record may be good enough to validate my opinions to you and allow me to speak in this case, on this particular program, as a professor or as a preacher. And my track record began to take shape after a young woman submitted willingly to my authority as a male and then set about building, through her actions, a husband, a father, and a man for the agora. It's a Greek word for the marketplace where men do their thing, and building a husband, father, and man for the kingdom of God by her loving service as my wife, who exercised the followership that civilizes a fallen world. Now, obviously, I'm going to be talking about my relationship with my wonderful wife of a long time. 53 years. And we lived next door to each other in Tallahassee, Florida, and high school and began dating my freshman year of college and got married my senior year. But before I wander into anything that I'm going to talk about in depth, I want you to know about her and her character in her own words. So, because Cindy is not one who likes to get on the radio and talk, particularly to talk about herself, and doesn't have all the confidence in the world in doing this, although I believe she should, I ask her to write down a couple of pages of things that you could probably benefit of knowing about her and our family, because I'm going to dovetail on this when she's finished to help you understand why the man speaking to you and his wife sitting next to him may be the best people that you know who can speak to the issue of the most critical function in human existence. What's that, Woody? Well, that's simple, and it's answered this way. It's one man and one wife joined together for a physical lifetime, reproducing physically and spiritually as often as God gives them the opportunity across the ages until we stand at that moment at Revelation 20:10 and we see Satan cast into the lake of fire and all that he messed up is put behind us in the new heaven and the new earth come down. It's all about one man and one woman joined together for a physical lifetime, reproducing often in perpetuity and reproducing spiritually and physically. All right, Cindy, I want you to squeeze in here now. This is going to be hard for you, so come on in. All right, I'm going to hold this. And you're going to read to us this what you wrote down, and I'm going to get a... because the lighting in here is probably less than optimum.
Well, thank you.
Okay, I have gotten the light for you. So I want you to read to these good folks. Just tell them about our life a little bit. Okay, ready, go.
Psalms 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. The Lord has to be our help and our guide. My husband has been our rock in this crazy world. When we got married, I planned on possibly a couple of kids. I had an older sister and a younger sister, mom and dad, and we were blessed to have our grandmother, my mom's mom, to live with us. She taught me much about honor and respect as we grew up. She had one child, my mom, and a loving husband who passed away at the age of 40. Nana, as we called her, was our rock and our teacher. She taught us to obey our dad, to help our mom, and to follow Christ in all things. So when my parents dragged me next door to see the people who had just moved in...
That was me!
Uh-huh. I was a 13-year-old, embarrassed and scared. That is where I met Marshall, Woody, who I only occasionally saw after that as we roamed the neighborhood. Little did we know what was in our future.
I was scared of her and I hid, so she didn't see me very much.
Yeah. My family moved to another neighborhood a year or so later, and while my older sister still gave Marsh a ride home from school, they went to a different school than I did. I rarely saw him until the last football game of the year at the school I attended. I was in the band, and at halftime, as we marched off the field, there he was.
Hey, I'm here. Hey, Cindy.
We had a brief conversation.
By your choice.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
A month or so after that encounter, we met again at McDonald's on New Year's Eve, 1966. That time he asked me out for a date. Well, we spent a lot of time just talking about our futures, how he wanted to be an Air Force pilot and how I wanted to have a bunch of kids and teach elementary school. Fast forward to the end of our college days at Florida State. He asked me to marry him. I was scared and excited all at the same time. We married at the end of his college career and during the start of my final semester at Florida State. Now, by this time, I wanted a big family. He came from a small family with only one sister. Well, we began our family right after we got married in 1970 and headed off to our Air Force career. I left my nearly completed elementary ed credits behind in favor of wife, mother, and Air Force spouse, a real job.
That was a real job, right? And yes. It was our career, wasn't it?
Yes, it
All
was.
All right, proceed.
That first year, we had our number one child. the one that taught us to be parents, Christopher had quite a job. What a joy he was. 16 months later, we had baby number two. Michael, by the way, you've heard of him disguised as Michael Marion on air with Marshall on programs 2 and 3 of The Bigger Picture. Do you see where this is going? All together, we had 6 sons, not a girl in the crowd or on the crew, as Marsh puts it. But all of our sons have married the most wonderful women in the world. They have become daughters to us and real, true, beloved daughters. Folks, our family worked together because we knew Dad was the one who called the shots. He led, and he still does in all ways. Life to include attendance to church when Mom was in the house, that the boys obeyed Mom and Dad, and most importantly, I know, that young men always honored and respected their mother, no choice, no matter what. In return, I made certain that I taught them to respect their dad, period, no questions. Now, while we had some occasional chaos in the house, our boys always respected and honored their dad and Mom. Today, we not only have 6 sons, but we have 6 beautiful daughters and 15 grandchildren. If I had only known what fun, what absolute blessings and joy grandchildren were, well, I would have had them first. I'm just saying. Today, all 6 family members, properly led by our boys, have either raised our own...
They've raised our grandchildren. We let them.
There he is. And are in the process of doing so. They have all been raised as Mom and Dad raised them. Their little ones, our precious grandchildren, are all doing well. They're happy, smart, healthy, spiritually, as well as physically. Bottom line, trust God. Lead kids by example and keep on keeping on by His word and by prayer, period. Any questions?
All right, you done good. I'm going to let you move over to the side. I'm going to squeeze back in here. Now, I did not prepare that for her. I asked her just to sit down this morning and to write out what she thought. We're going to continue this conversation in segment 2. Please come back.